A new program. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California, bringing you the thought for today. A new program. The newspapers are filled with stories about a congressman and or a senator from, I believe it's Tennessee, who lost his cool. He was very successful. He's a top man in every way. I didn't read much of it, but I just glanced a little bit at it. And what it seems like he did was he had something in his heart and his mind, and he said it out loud. And you can't do that. Not when you're in Congress, and not when you're representing a nation of people. There were a certain group of people that didn't turn him on. Now, we know stories about President Johnson when he was in the White House. And personally, to his aides and to his other people, he was very, used very bad language. And he was also speaking unkindly about different groups of people. And if the world had known about it, if he did it publicly, then he would have lost all his political power. But this is true of many of the political people. And they put aside their personal feelings about color, creed, religion, philosophy, and all those things, and they look at all people as being equal. And in doing this, then they become effective as ministers unto these people. However, deep in their heart, they have what they grew up with. They hated certain races, they hated certain religions, they hated certain cultures. We grew up with hating the Germans and hating the Japanese because they were who we were against in the world war. And I went in World War II. I'm really amazing myself. I went in World War II. The slogans that we had were to get the Japs, you know, and put them down, and the Huns, you know, put them down. And then, boom, the war was over. And all of a sudden, we're friends with these people now. We're doing business with these people. We're forgiving them. I know what there's to forgive about, I don't know. But we think that we're so superior because we won the war, so we can forgive them. Now, why are we even doing such things like that? Why are we even having in our consciousness thoughts about these people in a negative way? We don't agree when our child comes home and says bad words. We say, son, that's not acceptable. And our daughter, when she carries tales about the other girls in school, what they do and what she hears in the bathrooms and the washrooms and stuff like that, and she comes home and tells her mother, and her mother says, you're running her out. Those kind of girls? And mother forgets that those were the same things that she did when she was a teenager. Because we build values, we build ethics, we build principles as a youngster. And we are not always aware that we're doing it. In our community, black people were just fine because we had none around. And so we were very harmonious with all the black people we knew. However, we had friends who lived in black neighborhoods, and they were white people, and they were taught to say bad things. I was working for Orange Coast Realty when I was starting out in real estate, and the realtor I was working with did not want bad elements in any neighborhood. He didn't want blacks. He didn't want people who are of a poor background at all. And he would steer them out. He wouldn't turn them in. And just about that time, the blacks had stood on their feet and said, we will not tolerate this. And they had legislation passed that said, you cannot discriminate for race, color, or creed. Any person to have a house or anything else. And so my friend, Cisco, I never did remember his first name, but Sisko, he was a normal white person, little chubby guy, very self-confident and very unhappy most of the time. And he would come to work in his black Cadillac convertible, and he would sit in his office, we just had one room, the big room, and he had a big desk in the corner. And he would put on the show. And then he would always say, you know, now, if any person comes in here that I don't like, you know, just scoot them out of here. Send them over to our other realtors, you know. Well, I never did, because I have never had any feelings about any race, religion, or color, or creed, because that has never been in my consciousness, happily. But I know how strongly it is in some people's. And this just is the way it goes. Well, I was the low man on the totem pole in that office. You know, I just started out in real estate. And so I got another corner. I was put in the corner across from the boss. And it just so happened that the only desk left was the boss's former desk. It was about two-thirds the size of the one he has now. You know, so I had this giant desk in the corner with chairs on both sides. I looked like I was the boss. And of course, people came in and they didn't know the difference. And so they'd come to me, bypassing all the other people who had little desks and who were up in the front, who were supposed to get attention, you know. And I always said, hey, go up and see that. Those people are first. I'm low man on the totem pole here. I get the leftovers, you know. And they say, well, we're leftovers, so you might as well have us. And they were always very nice. People just wanted to deal with me happily. And I made out very nicely with my work. But the rest of them were saying, oh, how come you get these? How come? I said, you want to exchange desks? You take the back desk here. You can have a big desk, you know. I don't care. I'll move up front with your desk. But you know what will happen? People will stop there.
Yes.
Why? Because I greet them with a smile of love, a smile of respect and honor, not a smile of, how much money have you got? Yeah. But that aspect of looking at them as just a customer. Every person that I dealt with from the point of view that they were finding a home and they're going to live in it with their family or whoever they're going to live in it, but people they love, and they were going to raise their family and teach them values and teach them love and harmony and peace and joy and right action and so forth. And so that's how I responded to them. I would make sure that they knew. But first I would process them and talk to them and find out what it is they really wanted. And I would just sort of play a game. What if you could do anything you wanted to? What would you really like to do? You know, what is your wildest dream of a house you'd like to have? Not the house you want right now, but the house you'd like to have in a few years from now when you could afford it, you know. What would you like to have? And it never failed. They got right now the house that they thought they were going to wait for a few years, because they had the money. They just hadn't the consciousness to move into it. And I was able to help them build up a new program for themselves, a whole new attitude for themselves. And when they had this whole new attitude, boom, in they went. But we don't have the money. We don't have this. We don't have that. Well, of course you don't. You never will, unless you have some place to put it. But now you have a house, and you have the money that you would have put down for your cleaning and breakage deposit and your first and last month's rent and whatever else you would have to do, you know. And so that's your down payment on the house, you know. Fantastic. And money lending was quite free at that time, as it has been recently. And we got them a loan that was something they could afford to pay. And the loan was small payments for maybe 10 years, and then they could refinance it after 10 years and then have small payments again. But it was fantastic. It was fantastic. I worked out deals that you wouldn't believe, because I gave people a new program. I gave people a new lease on life, a new direction to themselves. Now, it wasn't all my idea. But I watched how other people did it. I watched how the successful real estate people did it. The really successful ones, the ones that people just love to come back to again and again and again. And one of the ladies that was my mentor, unknown to her, she was in our office. And she had a little tiny desk, you know, just so teensy-weensy, straight in. Everybody who came in saw her first. And she would sit there working at her desk, not pay any attention to anybody. And they loved it. They loved it. They would wait on her to wait on them because they knew she didn't need it. Mm-hmm. She didn't care. She was a good job. She was a good person. And so treating people like, hey, I'll get to you in just a minute, you know. If you want somebody else right away, go ahead, but I'll get to you in just a few minutes. And they would sit lined up in front of her desk. And everybody else would be sitting there with nobody at their desk, you know. And I'd say, I forgot her name right now, but I'd say, Florence, were all these people you have known? She's, I never saw them in my life. But she had that charisma about her that helped these people feel she can help me. And this is what I watched. And so I watched now. Let's see, how do you show that sort of charisma? Well, you have that sort of charisma in how you dress. You don't dress fancy. You just dress pleasant and something that pleases you. You don't dress to make people look at you. You dress because it's comfortable for you. And that's the way she always dressed. I had another woman come work for me. Her name was Florence also. And she had worked with me in my magazine, with the Newport magazine, and she was my advertising director. And we did a good job together. And I would go over to her house oftentimes and with her husband, and we'd have some cocktails and talk. But she's a good lady. And then her husband died. And so she had to handle everything herself. And so all of a sudden, I was telling her a few things, and I said, you know, you're not alone. You never did have anybody. Your husband may have been with you, and he may have supplied some of the income of your home, but the two of you spent it. You spent everything that he brought in, and what you brought in, you saved. So now start taking this money that you would normally save, and keep saving it, but then take some of it and use it for your operation, your daily activities. And within about 2 weeks, we got her all squared away. And she began having more and more money. And her son worked for Mercury Savings and Loan. And he's a nice kid, but kind of flaky. And so he would say, Mom, come, put some of your money with us at Mercury Savings and Loan. And I told her, don't do that. Don't invest in Mercury Savings and Loan. There's nothing wrong with Mercury Savings and Loan, but I don't feel comfortable with it. And so she said, all right. She believed in me. And so she invested in Newport Savings and Loan. And I said, now that's a good one for you. So she invested in Newport Savings and Loan, and they just kept going and going and going because it's for all the movie stars and it's a rich area. And it was doing very, very well. And her son's Mercury Savings and Loan was going along okay and was making some pretty shady deals, and they were soon to be investigated. But they collapsed three times, and lost everything for everybody, but then they just picked it up and started going again because there were no rules against it. And finally they made it. But Florence's money would have been long gone if she had invested in her son's savings and loan. It wasn't his. He just worked there. Mm-hmm. But she did invest in Newport Savings and Loan and did very, very well. In fact, that's her retirement. That's what she retired with. And she's been calling me occasionally over the years, wanting me to come see her. And quite a girl. And You see, we have all these beautiful people in our world, these beautiful people who look at how we live our life. And if we sort of bend to their experiences or their needs, we're not helping them. But when we stand for a principle for ourselves, and we do everything that we know is right and good, then we feel good, and then they benefit too. But always make a new program for yourself. Don't take somebody else's program, whoever it may be, your parents or your friends or some wealthy people who have good ideas for you. But even all the ideas that I gave to my real estate salesman and all the good ideas I gave to customers and to my associates, it's nothing. It's nothing. The ideas are only good when you put them into practice in your way. I got to do it my way. Remember that song? I got to do it my way. And that's exactly what you must do. But do it. Do it. And don't say, I got to do it my way. Just do it your way. And everyone will come to realize that you are not talking about doing it. You are doing it. And you're living it. And you're experiencing it. And you're wonderful. But this is what a new principle, a new program is all about. Being yourself and having fun. And going out into the world and just telling people just the way it is, as you understand it. And if anyone doesn't agree with you or doesn't like it, if they say that's incorrect, you say, that's okay. That's okay, it's my show. I can be as incorrect as I want. And you watch. I won't be incorrect for long. When you begin to listen within yourself, you begin to know things that nobody knows right now. You begin to know when a new double sun is going to be found. You begin to know when all sorts of other totally unimportant things are there, because your mind is attuned to it. But you will not know the important things that happen in your life and your world. Because it's like spiritual healing. It happens and you don't know it. Mm-hmm. When you are living according to your highest and your best, you don't realize that you're doing the right thing. Therefore, you're experiencing the right thing. You follow me? Mm-hmm. You're doing the right thing. Therefore, you're experiencing the right thing. Now, Patricia Shifted in New Jersey, she says, you people are wonderful. You people treated for these people. You people are so great because now they're living and they're getting healthier instead of dying because they were supposed to die and stuff like that. And several people that she had. And then she showed the people in the prayer list, you know, that their names were listed there. Oh, how about that, you know? And that meant something to them. But you see, the day must come for Patricia Shivdad and you, each of you, to not be surprised that the principle works. It should be like spiritual healing. You don't even know it happens because you just do it. You speak your word and it is done. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody is going to live when they're dying or that everybody's going to have eternal life. As far as you know, they do. As far as their particular experiences, they can play any game they want. They do have eternal life even though they die. Mm-hmm. Now you say, oh, that's inconsistent. No. They play the game of death. You've seen enough theater where people die, and then after the show they get up and go on with life. And that's the same thing. That's just the same thing. And we were so surprised. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. You know, how can that be that people can die and then get up 10 minutes later and go about their business, you know, and have their life? And sometimes people have a real bullet in the gun because they are after somebody and they really get shot. But that, again, is another part of the game of life. Another part of the game of how am I going to exit this particular dimension because I want to go into the next dimension. You know? Yeah. Well, take your body with you. That'll really blow people's mind because they'll look for you. Herbie, where are you? Herbie, where are you? Herbie, where are you? And, you know, I've already moved on and I took my body with me. You say, well, why didn't you show us so we could, you know, do? No. That's not no account. I don't ask you to show me when you move from dimension to dimension, and you do, you know. You move from dimension to dimension so many times, in so many ways. You're spectacular. Yeah. Now, sometimes we put on different disguises. Sometimes we put on disguise that we're old, or we're young, or we're happy, or we're sad, or we're dead, or we're alive, we're sick, we're ill, or we're whole, whatever. You know, and these are all illusions. These are all facades that we put on temporarily. And then we wake up and find out that, hey, that wasn't really so much fun. Much more fun to be dynamic and wholesome and pure and fantastic, right? So this is what I recommend to each of us, that we see ourselves with all the experiences of spiritual healing right now, in which we are whole and perfect, abundant, right action, peace, goodness, every wonderful thing is here now for us. And we're enjoying it with all of our heart. That's the way you go about putting a new program in motion. And I know that each one of you are going to do that as you have been from now on and forevermore. I love you.
I love you.